WPFW, Washington. Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Raucous Caucus. My name's Garland Nixon and I am here with
Mark Levine.
And hey, wait a minute.
Wait, where's Terry?
Well, good news.
No, Terry's out of town and he may call in, he said. So okay. I hope he does.
Good. Well, first, we want to thank everyone for listening to the Raucous Caucus. We want to remind you that for 34 years, WPFW has been commercial free, free of corporate sponsors, free of advertisement, free of undue influence, as you can tell by listening to the Raucous Caucus every week. Isn't that right, Mark?
That's true. And I'd like to thank our sponsor. No, we have no sponsors.
That's right, but we're about to.
Actually, I do. I want to thank our sponsor, you, our favorite listeners.
That's right. So, here's what you can do. You can help keep the Raucous Caucus and the other shows on WPFW on the air. Keep in mind, there's the Supreme Court is trying to do away with us. The GOP is trying to defund us.
But we're your only hope, folks.
Yes, and you're our only hope. But we know that we can count on you, so here's what we want to do. If you're not a member, for just $35, you can become a member of WPFW. You can be a voting member. You can run for office. You can do all kinds of
things. You can help determine the wonderful programming here.
Yes,
if you want more talk shows or more jazz,
yes,
or whatever you want, you can be a paying member. You have a voice in
that's
that.
Right. In fact, if you're a Washington, D.C. resident, you'll have more power than you have right now. You'll actually be able to
vote.
There you go. If you want a mug, which you got to have at your job, you got to have a WPFW mug. I mean, so everyone around knows that you're a WPFW listener. And let me tell you, when I walk around town with my WPFW t-shirt on, it never fails. I go into places or people walk up to me on the street and say, hey, I listen to WPFW too. So if you got a WPFW mug, your boss, the CEO of the corporation will probably, well, no, never mind.
No, not the corporation.
Not the CEO,
but if you work for a non-corporation,
if he's the CEO, he probably won't be listening to WPFW.
That's right. He won't know the difference, so that's fine.
But for $100, Mark, what can they get for $100? What's behind door number one?
Door number three.
Three.
Because you said door one and two. Door number three, for only a mere $100, you get an evening with the Raucous Caucus. And that time will actually make Terry show up.
That's right.
You will get your undivided attention for at least an hour. Garland Nixon.
Hey, what do you say for an extra $100 we make Terry not show?
Well, no, yeah, okay. That's up to the people who give it. Yeah. You will get Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and Terry DeCastor at your side, and we can decide whether it's dinner or drinks or whatever. But what you're paying for is not the dinner and the drinks. You're paying for the undivided attention of Garland Nixon, Terry DeCastor, and Mark Levine. You've heard us argue on the air. Now you can hear us argue in person, but even better, you get to stick your two cents in and tell us where we're wrong all night. Well, at least for an hour.
You can bring your camera, take pictures with us, videotape, whatever you want.
You can join us at Ben's Next Door. As you know, we're there pretty much every other week. We'll be there next week. And you can, you get our special evening with the Raucous Caucus.
And the phone numbers, if you want to pledge, and we know you want to pledge, 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. Or 1-800-222-9739. This is the Raucous Caucus with Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and Terry DeCastor. And the D is for the Doctor of Democracy. And he's got a very sick patient
and
right now.
And he may call in. And in fact,
he has called.
Oh no!
You guys are saying,
oh, Garland, that silence, that wonderful silence, is now gone.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
We had our own show for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Right. The show's falling apart, Mark.
All right. Well, okay. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Garland. I can only be with you for about 25 minutes, but I'm here to say, hey, pledge to this show because it's the best darn show with my best darn colleagues on the air.
Well, one thing for sure, Terry, if you're with us for 25 minutes, it'll seem like an hour.
but we're
no mercy.
We're here not just to get pledges, but to talk, of course, about about the killing of Osama bin Laden.
Yes,
you may have heard of him.
And in fact, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you might not even believe that he's dead.
That's true, and I think there may be some that don't.
Yeah, but so we're going to talk about a very interesting subject on so many levels. I think that what will be interesting to see after this is how the I'm not going to name anyone, but how those who oppose the president deal with this now. Because to some extent, if you really look at what's happened, what's happening, if you look at the history of America, this is symbolically, this is a powerful event. Symbolically speaking,
it's extremely powerful.
It's like, you know, winning a war. Like it's like a president who wins a war or something like that. I think a lot of Americans are so, you know, the American culture is so literal that we don't often see the symbolism that a lot of people in around the world and other cultures see it. And we probably don't even recognize how big this is to those who actually support Osama bin Laden. But the symbolism is huge, and it makes our president, it sheds a different light. It's going to be hard, very difficult for people to attack him and say, you don't show leadership. Whether they think he does or not, this symbolically demonstrates some level of leadership. So I think the discussion about the president and the way people come after him has to change. Terry, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it should change. There's no question about it, particularly if you consider the context of the whole situation. You know, here is a man, you know, obviously, I mean, the president always has a difficult job, but here is a man who is, you know, coming to, you know, down here to Florida, Cape Canaveral, to see the space launch of the shuttle launch, you know. Here is a man who is going to the correspondence dinner. Here is a man who is dealing with economic issues. Here is a man who is dealing with the stupid, you know, birther issues, the Donald, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at the same time, this very, very, very serious, very, very intense, and he's able to manage all of these things simultaneously. I mean, it speaks well of him. It really does.
There are a lot of issues here. Garland, you talked about how the right wing was going to address this. They're already saying, see, Bush torture methods is what caused this. There's no evidence, at least as of yet, that happened. We know that some of the detainees who were tortured did say some things that later ended up helping us, but we don't even know that that happened under torture, frankly.
Right.
We just know that they said it. I think it's been shown that deception works even better than torture. One thing I did read in the Washington Post, though, today was that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed specifically was tortured and didn't give information on this point. But there's a lot of issues here. One of the things that I remember during the campaign, and whenever anyone attacked Barack Obama as being weak on national security.
Right. Or the Democrats, like they always do.
Or the Democrats. Here's what I reminded them, something that very few people remember, but I remembered, and I talked about it all going into the election. Barack Obama said during the campaign, actually in one of the debates, although he said it at other times too, that he would be willing to go into Pakistan, a sovereign state, if he had actionable intelligence, and capture or kill
Pakistanis
Obama
wouldn't
bin Laden.
Act on it. He said if they won't act on it,
that's right. Now, McCain, people forget this. McCain said that would be wrong. It would be wrong to go in and violate. And there are people who argue it is wrong, and that's maybe a discussion that our listeners may want to participate in. I always felt that President Obama was right, that while generally it's not a good idea as a matter of rule to go into a sovereign country and do things, when you have a guy that kills 3,000 Americans, it seems to me that's a clear exception to the rule, and I think Obama was always right, and it's a point where he was willing to do more and to protect our national security and, frankly, do justice for the 3,000 Americans that were murdered than John McCain was.
And besides that, besides the 3,000 Americans that were murdered, here's the other part of it. Here's a person who clearly would like to do more. If he could kill another 3,000, he would. So if you have a person...
He's gone now.
Right. So here, if you have someone who has, you know, done bad things in the past or has been a serial killer, but the person is still at large and has made it clear that they want to perpetrate the same crimes again,
sure,
then it's not just... What happened here is we're not just talking about justice for people killed. I think we're talking about a person who presented a clear and present danger for the future.
Remember,
and that people have a right to defend themselves against somebody that says, I'm going to come to your house and kill you.
There were attacks in Madrid. There were attacks in London. He's been connected with the underwear bomber, the shoe bomber. He's been connected
Not the underwear bomber.
The first attack on the World Trade Center. He's been connected with the coal bombing in Yemen. He's been connected with the embassy bombings way back.
And he declared war on the United States.
Sure. Sure. So,
you know, I don't know if an individual can declare a war, but but, you know, he did.
He was clearly public enemy number one.
Well, yeah. I put it, Terry, he did about as good a job as any individual could of declaring war.
Yeah, no question of that.
Yeah,
you know, I don't applaud, though. I must say, I don't applaud the celebration of his death. You know, I really don't, and I disagree with that strongly. I don't think that's the moral thing to do. I understand the need, the necessity, but not the celebration.
I understand that on a, you know, on kind of a an intellectual level, but when you get to what makes people people, you know, when you get to people's feelings and people's fears and things like that, then by the same token, you know, then I understand how people feel. You know, what's interesting is, you know, I teach a criminal justice class. So when I came in the next Monday morning, I asked the students, tell me, and this was interesting. I said, you know, I saw students in the street. What was interesting was there were some professors that were saying, what we need to do is put together a forum and we'll put a bunch of professors up on the stage. We'll bring our students in and we'll let the students listen to the professors discuss it. And I said, I got an idea. Why don't we ask them?
Exactly.
God forbid. But here's what was interesting. They said, well, you know, when this happened, I was in, you know, middle school, seventh, eighth grade.
Right.
They said, so through all my years of growing up, from then until being like 19, 20, 21, this whole idea of bin Laden being out there and being attacked by terrorists and there's two wars, they had a lot of anxiety and fear because this is all they'd ever known from when they hit 7 or 8 years old and they started being aware of what was going on. And they said, to some extent, when this happened, they felt kind of like a freeze. Them from that, like they could kind of go on with their lives and they didn't have to be concerned with, you know, blue, yellow, purple, and magenta, you know, elevation levels.
Well, that's, I mean, I understand. I agree with you on that. I mean, that is valid in the sense that, you know, those of us who, dating myself once again to you children, is, you know.
You remember the end of the Civil War, Terry? Is that what you're talking about?
The Civil War, yes, it was horrible. You know, but the Cold War is the last one I was really involved with, you know. And, you know, the nuclear age and the nuclear threat and all that, which we're still under in case anybody's not paying attention, you know, but to feel a release would be grand. There's no question about that.
Well, I'd like to go back to the end of an earlier war. I know there's that famous picture, I forget whether it's Time or Life magazine, with the sailor who grabs the unknown woman he's never met before and gives her a big kiss.
Yeah,
today,
yeah.
That would be sexual harassment.
Right.
But the heart of it was, this was VJ Day, I believe, not VE Day, the end of the war, entirely end of World War II, the end of a war that, let's face it, followed two brutal nuclear bombs set by us at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, killing hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians.
Wasn't it also the day that Hitler was discovered?
Europe. No. The war in Europe ended in May. The war in Japan didn't end until September in 1945. There was a lot of celebrating then too. But my point is that we're not going to have a surrender where the Emperor Hirohito comes on, or the, I think it was the Emperor, on the battleship USS Missouri and surrenders. This is the best we're going to get in this war, where we kill public enemy number one. And I'm not saying the war is over. Although I do think that this maybe should get us to reevaluate why we're still in Afghanistan, given that there's very little Al-Qaeda there. Most of them are in Pakistan. We can still do, if we have to, what we did to Osama bin Laden, if we have to. And in the meantime, we can take home 100,000 troops that would be better served, helping people in Alabama.
I'll tell you why we're in Afghanistan, for one reason. And you know me, I'm no warmonger at all. But we're in Afghanistan because we need to stabilize Afghanistan, because Pakistan is not stable. And we need every stable neighbor we get. Also, when you've talked about it much in terms of Libya and et cetera, on a humanitarian level, considering particularly what is done to women, it is irresponsible not to fight the Taliban.
Oh, my God, Terry. Now you and I are on opposite sides again, but in different ways, because I supported going into Libya. Terry was against it, and yet I support.
I wasn't against it.
You were. You forget.
Before he was for it.
You forget. You were against it before you were for it. I think it's time to come home. I'm not saying we can't leave some rump force behind, very small, like 10% of what we have there. But look, women are mistreated throughout many countries, I mean, including our allies, Saudi Arabia,
in America,
certainly in Yemen.
So, in extreme.
Well, that's true, but the Taliban doesn't run Afghanistan now. We've got Karzai.
Well, Well, it depends on which neighborhood you're in, kid.
Yeah, well, but meanwhile, let me get back to something more important.
Let me get back to something much more important.
Did you know that WPFW has more than 100 volunteers? We have people who volunteer to come in here. Let's face it, we don't take money from the big corporations. So we have to have listeners that come in here on their own time, like, oh, I'm thinking me, Mark, and Terry do.
Yep.
But listeners that come in and help do things and help around here.
Even when I'm not there, even when I'm trying to have a vacation with my wife and deal with some family business that must be done with, WPFW comes first.
That's it. Go, Terry. I mean, if we don't need you here. Garland and I had it covered for two beautiful minutes until you stepped in. I mean,
but we don't.
Too quick, Mark. You're too quick.
But it's very important for WPFW to be on the air so you can have a place to be a part of a discussion where you don't have to worry about which advertiser is controlling the content. You can listen to a station. You can call in. You can listen to Democracy Now. Everybody loves Democracy Now. If you want some reality, you can listen to
Democracy. And if there's one thing they know, Garland, that there is nobody controlling Mark, Garland, or Terry.
We are uncontrollable. Even we can't control each other. We can barely control ourselves.
We're getting there.
Right. So what you need to do, let me give you the number, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. We've got a number of things, not the least of which being a WPFW black coffee mug, $65. And keep in mind, I mean, don't look at it and say, oh, $65 for a mug, that's too much. This is not about the mug. The mug is a wonderful thing to show off, to show your friends, to enjoy, and to have something to remind you of the station of WPFW. But it's about being able to be a part of something very, very important.
And for $100, they get three mugs, namely Terry's mug, and my mug, all at your beck and call for an hour. You can rail on us. You can tell Terry how wrong he always is.
Yeah, Just like we do,
only you can do it. You can ask us whatever question is. You know, your issue is Outer Mongolia, and we never discuss it, but we will discuss it with you for an hour at your beck and call. I'll tell you, a lot of people have taken this up on this in the past.
And we've had some great dinners.
We've had some wonderful, wonderful discussions with our listeners.
Really have.
And I know a lot of you listen every Tuesday at 7. You love the Raucous Caucus. We don't even know you're there until you come and join us at Ben's, or you come and join us. So, do we have some people who've called in?
Let me give the pledge lines out again, okay? 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Now, I know there are people out there who tune into the Raucous Caucus every week, and we need you really to support us, to support the station.
Any gift. If you could give a lot, we'd love it. If you can give 10, 20 bucks, whatever you can give, show us your support. Show WPFW your support.
Yeah, we're on here, and, you know, we all work hard, and we all try to do the best we can to provide you a forum to, number one, to enjoy yourself, to enjoy the discussion, and number two, to be a part of the conversation. This is a 50,000-watt station in the nation's capital. If you come on WPFW, you are a part of the conversation. There are people on Capitol Hill that listen, people in members of Congress and members of their staff that listen to WPFW. So when you say things, you may actually be influencing what happens. You realistically, not in a joking way, not in a metaphorical way, you may realistically be able to influence what happens in Congress on Capitol Hill. 202-588-9739.
I'll tell you something else, Garland, that I hear from our listeners is that they like it when you and me and Terry attack each other. They like the humor. Listen, we deal with a lot of serious topics, no doubt about it. Osama bin Laden tonight. We've dealt with Citizens United. We've dealt with everything from when Carson was shot.
Of all, Mark is learning very fast, so don't despair, listeners. But let me toss in there too. I mean, what an incredible organization, WPFW. Is now, and I forget how many, but even 34 years. Yeah. I mean, it's an incredible organization, and it's an incredible organization only because of the listeners supporting it. Simple things that you may not be aware of. You know, we have finally gotten our transmitter problem solved. That is because of you, the listener.
Right.
You know, we're able to be doing some expansion that we're trying to do in terms of website. We've got our whole new website design. That's because of listeners like you. That everything that happens in this station by the staff or the volunteers, and there's so many volunteers that serve WPFW, only exist and only are able to broadcast because of listeners. That's the source. That's our true power.
And if you have
50,000 watts, we got. But the true power is you, the listener, and you need to continue to support.
And if you happen to like the Raucous Caucus, if you happen to like your serious news delivered with a little bit of fun, which we tried to do here, then let us know. I mean, you can let us know.
And that's why Terry's on the show, for the serious stuff.
I thought you were the joke, Terry.
That's right. What is that jester's hat you always wear in here with the little, little pointy
things? The little
bells. The little pointy things
down.
That hang in three different
Let's
directions with the bells
about
in the
our
end?
Dress code at the studio.
Okay, let me give you the number again, 202-588-9739 or 800-222-9739. Call in now. Help support WPFW. Let everybody know that you love the Raucous Caucus. Put in a word for the Raucous Caucus when you call in.
And tell me a little bit more, just because, you know, because I'm stuck down here, you know, and suffering. You know, tell
and
me a little
suffering?
Bit more about the $100 pledge, because I was a little unclear and all that.
Oh, that's an evening with Terry. That includes you.
Well, I know that.
We may have to waterboard you to get you there, but that includes you. All three of us. It's an evening with the three of us to talk, discuss, carouse.
Yeah, there we go. And be raucous.
And be raucous. You can be raucous with us.
Just a night out, as it were, with the three of us?
With the three of us. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Now that may be all they can stand for an hour. But if people give 200, they can get 2 hours.
Yeah,
so
right.
There you go.
If
they
polish my tux?
Sure, Terry.
Yeah. Thank you.
After 15 minutes, they may be running, screaming for their lives. You know, run through. You know, kind of like those cartoon cutouts where somebody runs through a wall with both hands up in the air and it's kind of cut out.
Right, or the Kool-Aid man comes in.
That may be what we're looking at. But back to our subject, the discussion of the death of Osama bin Laden. And
I don't blame people for cheering. I don't. I mean, like, Terry, you may be the better part of us in saying that we shouldn't cheer.
I'm not blaming. I understand. You know, as Garland
He was a bad guy.
I'm just talking personally. I will not celebrate the death
of
anybody.
Well, I kind of liked, I saw Jon Stewart do Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead for The Wizard of Oz, and I think that's kind of how people felt. I mean, he was an evil man.
I mean, you know, there was talk about the psychological effect of Osama, you know, in dealing with him. The one thing we didn't call him, we called him evil and everything else, the one thing we didn't call him that might have had the most effect is just to call him an idiot.
Well, see, I don't think he was an idiot.
Evil. He's rotten and disgusting, but he obviously can't think things through.
Oh, I don't know about that.
A blooming idiot.
I think if you call him an idiot, you underestimated him or his power.
Oh, I don't mean that in terms of, you know, I'm not talking about a man who can't think things through. That's an idiot.
Yeah,
and he can't.
Based on your definition of an idiot, I know what you mean. Sometimes you just look at people and you don't mean they're an idiot in the perspective of their intellect. You know what I'm saying? There's that other pejorative use of the word idiot.
The conclusions they come to.
Yes.
He was an ideologue.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
wasn't stupid.
Exactly.
He actually believed that he was going to recreate an Islamic caliphate from Spain to Indonesia.
Right. And he actually believed he's the only person that knows how to do it, and he's right.
The other part, this is the bad part. You know what? You can believe that you're going to create any kind of caliphate or anything else you want. I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that.
Are you now?
It's the part that says, I have the right and to make sure that other people lose their lives so for the furtherance of my ideals. That's the part I got a problem with, the whole thing. Because let's face it, this man throughout the Middle East, his organization killed a whole lot more Middle Easterners, Muslims, et cetera.
He killed Jordanians. He killed Pakistanis. In fact, he had a lot of support in Jordan until he killed a bunch of Jordanians.
Yeah.
And suddenly they didn't support him anymore. Here's what I think is the biggest news about Osama bin Laden is that he died. I wanted to kill him the day after September 11th, but I got to say there's a certain justice to the fact that he died after he was pretty much no longer relevant. What I think the Arab Spring has taught us is that the problems in the Arab world are because of the dictators of the Arab world. And the people themselves taking to the streets in Egypt and Tunisia and unfinished business in Libya and Syria and Iran and Yemen and Bahrain and Algeria and to some extent in Jordan, going on and on, that what they found is that through peaceful protest and not through killing a bunch of civilians, they can actually make dramatic changes.
The most of dramatic changes happened.
Here, Osama bin Laden wanted dramatic changes, and he went about and he killed thousands of people, and all he got was his own death.
And the most dramatic.
You know, what it truly proves more than anything else, and I hope people would begin to realize it, and I don't know if they will, that what the man really is a coward, was a coward, a terrible coward, an evil coward. I mean, it takes true courage to, you know, be a protester in Libya.
You're right. Or, to be a peaceful protester when you're getting shot at. That does take courage.
That's a good point,
Martin Luther King, Gandhi.
Those are the heroes in the world, and none of them that I've heard are running around screaming that Allah, you know, commands me to do this or anything else. Mm. You know, it's the coward. Osama bin Laden was a coward.
Truly
a coward.
That's a very true
I
don't know.
We know Terry doesn't like the president sometimes, but I wonder about that little Freudian slip, Terry. I'll let it go.
But you know the funny thing about it is because the words are so...
I know.
Are constantly making that. But
I just remind people that Obama got Osama.
Osama. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. You know what's funny? There's a...
The CIA is going to hold that for me, I'm sure. Yeah. Play it back repeatedly.
That's it.
That's right. Wait, they'll be putting your file, Terry, with all the rest of it.
Yeah. But your file is so thick, Terry.
It's several volumes. Let me volume 23.
Let us see the photos.
Yeah.
Hey, look, gentlemen, I hate to do this. I know, because I know you cannot control the show without me. I know you can't bring the truth to the listeners without my input. But you know,
I think we can handle it, Terry.
Unfortunately, I have to leave it to you. I apologize. I apologize to our listeners. I do ask that they support us. I miss you guys. Be warm. Be well. I will see you soon.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the one, the only Doctor of Democracy, Terry D. Kester. We love him, and he'll be back next week. And once again, we're going to go to break soon. But first, before we go to break, please, we want you to call in. We want you to support us. We want you to support WPFW. Let me give you the numbers again. 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or 1-800-222-9739. This is very serious business. You're riding down the road, and you're listening to WPFW like you always do, or you're sitting at home, and you're listening to WPFW like you always do. Don't just take for granted that we'll always be on the air no matter what. You know, due to the success we've had in some of our previous pledge drives, we've been able to bring our rent current. We've been able to bring our electric utility bills current. You know, we shouldn't have to be concerned with whether or not we bring them current. We should, these things should all be taken care of. And we want to see that happens. And we know you love and respect WPFW. You enjoy it. Even if you've only got a few dollars, whatever you have, of course, we're going to $35 gets a membership, $100 gets dinner with us, and $65 gets a mug. We know that. We appreciate those contributions. But whatever you have, if you don't have that, we'll certainly thank you for anything that you can use to help WPFW stay in the air.
You got to remember that in this world in which we live, in this world where corporations control so much, where Citizens United and the Koch brothers and Karl Rove spend billions and billions of dollars to frankly,
you mean WPFW doesn't have billions?
No, they spend all this money to convince people of a bunch of lies, and let's face it, they largely succeed in a lot of ways. We are the countervailing force. I feel like sometimes we're a tiny string holding up that sword of Damocles, trying to keeping it from falling. And don't cut the string. Help us out. Whatever you can give, it is very much appreciated.
You know, part of the discussion I'd like to touch a couple things that people are saying. I've heard some of the things I've heard, you know, I listen to the Washington Journal, et cetera, people call in and say, well, why do we have to kill him? Well, let me say this about the as opposed to bringing him in alive, et cetera. Here's the thing to keep in mind. Some of that discussion, I believe, is misguided for this reason. Basically, as I understood it, the president sent the people out there.
The special forces out there
to address the Osama bin Laden
issue. To capture or kill him.
Now, here's the thing about it. He had made it clear he wasn't coming in alive. And they were involved in a firefight. These guys, you know, they just can't walk in and say, you know, Mr. Bin Laden, I know you're standing there with an AK-47. Would you please choose not to fire it?
To be fair, we're going to find out all the details, I hope, pretty soon. We know that actually he wasn't armed. We know that now today. That was mistaken. Although
but they didn't
guys,
know that in the dark.
No, they sure didn't know that in the dark. And also our guys were getting shot at at the time. And apparently a woman rushed them when they came in. We don't know all the details yet. I mean, I'm sure if they had come out surrendering with their hands up, then because frankly, if they wanted to live, they should have because we started the bottom floors, right? The middle floors, you know, come in, say, I'm surrendering,
And clearly he had said he was never going to do that.
That's true.
He had said time and again that he was not going to come. He was not going to.
I would have preferred, all things being equal, maybe some people disagree with me, I would prefer we had captured him alive, have a trial, prove everything he's done. Do it before an American jury. Mm-hmm. Maybe a jury from Lower Manhattan. That mm-hmm. might work with a few from Arlington and maybe one from Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And then I think he probably would have gotten the death penalty. And I know some of you are against it. For me, for Osama bin Laden, I think that's a pretty fair death penalty.
Yeah, whatever the case. You know, you got to think about it from this perspective. You have people who are sent in. You are dropped in at night in the lair of the spider.
Yeah, and okay? Remember, one helicopter hit the wall. Right. I mean, it had a mechanical problem. So they had problems at the beginning.
Right. So they,
look how
these
scary
guys
that is.
Are in there. For all they know, it could be very, very likely that the place is rigged with explosives. That when you come in, the only thing to stop them from hitting the trigger to blow everything to smithereens, including you, is to be able to fire and stop. So they were in a position where their lives were, you know, hanging on a thread any way you look at it. So from the perspective of those guys, when you see somebody, a person that dangerous, I just don't think that I want to hold the people there and you know, hold them to that kind of
standard.
You
know, when you read the accounts,
it's absurd. Actually, it's absurd.
What's interesting is that Osama bin Laden, frankly, and he's certainly not the first terrorist to do this, he tried to protect himself with human shields. Who was living there? The majority of the individuals in that household were children.
Mm-hmm.
There was another family there. Mm-hmm. There were 9 or 10. I forget how many. I have to look at the Post articles.
Mm-hmm.
Children. There were a bunch of women there. I think there were 4 or 5 men. And of course, the SEALs did the right thing. They took the children. They put them aside. They mm-hmm. helped. They held them until they could finish their job, and mm-hmm. then they let them back in. Even Osama bin Laden's wife, apparently, who rushed them, she was wounded, mm-hmm. but she wasn't killed.
Mm-hmm.
They shot her in the leg. She fell, and they, you know, then they didn't finish her off. I mean, this was not an operation where people.
It was not an execution.
Exactly. And that's very important because that distinguishes us from the terrorists. There's a big difference, a huge difference between people who intentionally kill innocent civilians and people who accidentally kill innocent civilians in the process of killing terrorists. We understand, for example, that one of the women who rushed them was shot, but you know, she attacked them and she was trying to protect bin Laden and so forth. But I think that there's a huge difference between going in execution style, killing a bunch of children, and doing what we did.
Yeah. And the other thing I think is this. I mean, I was a person, no one was more against the Iraq invasion than me. And
I was against it.
And at that time, you know, I said, look, you know, you don't go invading a sovereign country. If there's something, an issue there, you deal with the issue. But as far as invading a country is wrong. So from the perspective of, you know, of how we dealt with it, I am much more in favor of an operation that happens, of some kind of a military operation inside of a country, as opposed to, you know, bringing 10,000 people, bombing cities, going in and taking over everything. I mean, I'm a very pacifistic person, but at times, there are going to be times when military operations happen, and I much prefer this over what happened in Iraq.
I'll tell you, Garland, I wonder if we couldn't have done this all along. If we couldn't have, for example, in Afghanistan, okay, so we invade, we get rid of the Taliban.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the war from, you know, from September 2001 to about February 2002.
Mm-hmm.
We conquer, we get rid of the Taliban. George Bush makes a mistake, and I don't think he did it on purpose, but he didn't have enough troops to get Osama bin Laden, and he escapes at Tora Bora into Pakistan. Oh, bad move, George Bush. Again, not on purpose, but
one of many bad moves,
but not as clever as our current president. But after that, it's something, frankly, that Vice President Biden has been saying since he was Senator Biden, that instead of occupying a country, let's think about what we did. The occupation of Afghanistan, okay, again, apart from the first 5-6 months, which I admit I supported. I didn't support the war in Iraq. I did support the first 6 months of the war in Afghanistan. After that point, I wonder what we're achieving there. What we did to get Osama bin Laden was we did really good detective work. We mm-hmm. did a good police investigation. We followed this person to that person to that person. We looked at these intercepts. It was a great intelligence job. It was a police operation. And, you know, it wasn't cheap, but it was much,
a serial killer,
it was much, 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 much cheaper than occupying Afghanistan.
Right.
And one of the things that Joe Biden has always said, and he's been a little quieter now that he's vice president, because I think, frankly, this disagrees with the president to some extent, was that instead of occupying every town and hamlet in Afghanistan, that it's not that Biden loves the terrorists. If he found actionable intelligence, if there's a training camp, bomb the heck out of him. Let me tell you, those bombs are expensive. They're a lot cheaper than paying 100,000 American men and women to serve in Afghanistan. See, I never thought, and this is where I disagree with Terry, as usual, but on opposite sides for some strange reason, I never thought that we could successfully remake the entire country of Afghanistan.
There's no possible. You're right. And the thing about it is this. Nor do we have a right to.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got a pledge.
We've got a pledge. Oh, can we say
is it
this
anonymous? Oh, it's anonymous.
It's an anonymous pledge. Well, we want to thank this anonymous person for a pledge.
Thank you, Anonymous.
And all the anonymous people out there who are listening, we'd like to thank you for your pledge. But first, you're going to have to call in and give us a pledge. We know you love the Raucous Caucus. In fact, you're listening right now because you love the Raucous
Caucus. Exactly.
Because you enjoy it.
And you can meet us in person.
The three of us have fun, but not just us. We have fun. You listen as the listener, and I, you and Mark, you and Terry, we're all kind of one big unhappy family. It's
complicated. Well, I tell you, we've met a lot of you. Every other week, it's a little exception because it's pledge week, but every other week we're in studio. We take your calls from wherever you are. We've heard a lot of you. The phones were We always fill up our phone lines, one right after another. And then when you come down to Ben's next door, 1211 U Street, where we will be next week, we see you in person and we say, you hadn't seen us.
We had great conversations.
But you're a regular listener. And I guess what I would ask is that if you are a regular listener to the Raucous Caucus, if you are the kind that as you're driving home from work every Tuesday, you turn it on, you get a giggle out of us, you get something thought-provoking, that you consider giving a pledge to because – frankly, we don't have the advertising. We need you.
And, we do a lot of work. I mean, you've come down. We've had we've had John Conyers. We've had PG County House of Reps. Donna Edwards. We've had Donna Edwards. We kind of claw and struggle to get some good.
I brought an FBI secret agent about how the government spies on you.
Right. So we get some really good people that our progressive listeners, and we know our listeners are mostly progressive, that our progressive listeners would want to meet. We bring them down to Ben's so you can come and take a picture with them and shake their hands and say hi. I mean, people that were involved that have been involved in very, very important things. And we appreciate you coming. And we want to be able to continue to do that and continue to provide opportunities like that. And we need some support. We need you to call in. We need you to, whatever
you
can afford.
Give the number.
$35 will make you a member. Even if you're already a member, $35 will make you a member.
Renew.
$65, that's right, renew. $65 will get you a WPFW mug, or $100 will get you an evening dinner with Terry, Mark, and I. 202-588-9739, 800-222-9739, Mark.
I was just going to say that when people come and meet us, I get all the time, they're different people. I agree with Mark most of the time, but sometimes I agree with Terry, sometimes I agree with Garland, or probably the ones that like Terry better don't say that to me, they say that to Terry.
Yeah.
But what I find is that all three of us are progressive, but we look at things very differently.
Yep.
And we come at it differently, and I think we try to reflect sort of the breadth of progressives out there, and that's part of the things that I think the Raucous Caucus does is that people, they talk in their living rooms with their family, and I think Obama's he's caving in too much to the right, or I think that the corporations are just taking over, and there's nothing we can do, or whether it's gun control, or whether it's civil rights, or whether it's the budget,
or the Tea Party,
or
Sarah Palin,
or Paul Ryan. When I think about the great discussions that we've had here on this show,
oh my gosh,
they've run the gamut, and let's face it. That's what WPFW does. It brings you another point of view that is not bought and paid for by anyone except you.
Yep, and we have a lot of fun.
So give out the numbers again.
202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. 800-222-9739. Call in. Pledge. Help keep us on the air. Help keep WPFW in its position as one of the leading voices for
progressive law.
Progressive information, for uncorrupted information.
For anti-corporate information.
That's it. Anything you want to hear, anything you're going to hear here is what people believe. You're not, there's no one behind, there's no puppets behind the curtain pulling strings. When you hear what the various hosts say, this is what our hosts believe. Yeah. We're not making this up, and there's nobody saying, you know, oh, well, you know, you got to sell a few more burgers for our last client.
You know, sometimes I wonder if Terry really believes what he's thinking, but guess what?
God, I hope not.
He really does. I know it's weird. Sometimes it boggles my mind.
He's the only person that believes it.
It boggles my mind, but no, he does believe every word he says, and I believe every word I say. So,
yeah, so we go back to the president. Well, you know what's going to be interesting? Let's look forward. What happens now?
His poll numbers are up.
Yeah, and what happens now? You know, going into the election year, it really makes it difficult for Trump. It's going to make it very difficult for people to go after this guy. I mean, this is kind of like war hero status kind of thing for a while,
For a week.
You think so? I think it'll last a long time.
I hope so.
The dynamic. Because of not just what happened, but the way it happened. I mean, it's going to make it difficult for those who said, you know, he doesn't show leadership. Even those on the left who got angry. God knows, Mark, you and I have gotten angry at the president for caving in. But even when I'm mad at him, I'm going to have to take a little bit of a different angle when I, you know, read him the riot act.
I'll tell you something, Garland. We now know that the president began to have information about this compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, as early as August or September of last year. Mm-hmm. I take you back to August or September of 2010. The Democrats' polls were sinking.
Yeah.
Obama's numbers were sinking. Everyone was talking about it was going to be a rout. It was going to be 50, 60, 70 seats. It turns out, of course, that is what happened in the House of Representatives. And there was someone wrote I believe it was a letter to the editor, in today's Washington Post, made a really good point. The person said, hey, you know, Obama could have acted at that time.
Yeah.
In August and September, he knew about the compound. He was still gathering information. He gathered information apparently for another 6 months to be absolutely sure. He could have acted. He would have been right, as it turns out. That was Osama bin Laden. And if he'd done that, he most certainly would have had great poll numbers. That could have turned the whole 2010
around. You're right.
But he acted as president before he acted as leader of the Democratic Party. He actually carefully weighed, because at the time, in August, September, he wasn't 100% sure it was Osama bin Laden.
Right.
He waited till he could get the more information. So this is the president who put his country and
his duty, his job.
And when you compare Obama to Bush, right? When you compare a president who just said, oh, let's go invade Iraq, and a president who very carefully judges each action before doing that, this is, I think, the clear example. So when all those opponents come and say Obama unprincipled, this was the ultimate principle. He could have won if he simply had shown a little less principle.
Not to mention, I don't think you'll be hearing any of them saying he's not prepared for the 3 o'clock call in the middle of the night.
This was a 3 a.m. phone call.
This was the ultimate 3 a.m. phone call, and he handled a lot of things. So,
listen, we'll go back to criticizing Obama. You and I and Terry and people on the right. I mean, I'm already upset that we're not doing more in Syria, for example. I think that we should really push sanctions. Because you know me, when people want to uprise and overthrow their dictator, I'm on their side. I'm on their side, and I'm worried about them because there are massacres that are going on. So I still got things to be critical for Obama. I'm worried that he's not going to push hard enough on the debt ceiling.
I was about to say, I'm scared that, you know, I don't want to see him cave. You know, I want to see the guy get his mojo back now for this whole debt ceiling thing. I want to see him get his mojo back and say, you know something, hey, you know what, I'm feeling good now, I'm feeling strong, darn it, if I'm not going to stand up to these GOP guys.
That's right. Give us the debt ceiling when we invade your compound.
Hey, you know what? He can invade the GOP compound, the house or something, you know. There we go. He'll send in SEAL Team 6 to, you know, to the RNC
headquarters. Don't joke about that, because the Secret Service will come up and
He'll be sending SEAL Team 6 after us.
And that's probably true, if they drag you out.
But once again,
we've only had one call. We need your help.
Yeah, we need
nine more. So you got a few minutes left. No, seriously, we do need your help. If you support the Ruckus Calling, if you listen to us every week, just give something. Give what you can. $35 membership, $65 is the mug, and $100 is is better than all of that, because it's an evening you'll never forget, your own evening with the Ruckus Caucus. If you had an evening with us before, you get an evening again. There may be things that you forgot, that you didn't want to mention, that we didn't got time to mention. You'll have time to do that.
And the number is 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. And 1-800-222-9739. I also think that this is a prime opportunity for the president to move. I wish that he would on bringing, starting to bring, you know, moving more aggressively to bring troops home from Afghanistan and Iraq?
I think it is. I think this is sort of the defining moment. I think already people have changed their mind about Afghanistan. I told you, I myself, while you and I both opposed the war in Iraq, yeah. I think you and I both supported the war in Afghanistan when it started.
Yeah, yeah. When it started. I wouldn't say I supported it, but I, you know, begrudgingly accepted that it may be a valid reason.
So
to
how
take
would you
action.
Have? We heard Democracy Now as you're driving in about Barbara Lee, who actually voted against the war. Mm-hmm. So Garland, if you were a member of Congress in September 2001, would you have abstained?
I would have put you on the spot. Yeah, more than likely not. I probably would have abstained. You know,
I don't think you would have voted for it.
I don't think I would have voted for it. It wouldn't be that I didn't understand, but I just couldn't find it in my heart to vote in favor of a military action unless we're invaded. You know, of course, then again, I could have been put in the position that I was the deciding vote.
I don't know. I have to go back in time. I'll bet if you felt like I did in September, like most Americans felt, that you might have had a different point of view then.
I'm always on the fence, Mark.
That's true.
I mean, I'd probably abstain all the time. Take a stand, Garland. I'd say, well, I understand why we shouldn't do it. But on the other hand, you know.
But I think after we got rid of the Taliban, at least the vast majority of the Taliban, after they were no longer in charge, after the Afghani people chose Hamid Karzai, as imperfect and as corrupt as he is, we could not hope to remake Afghanistan.
No, that's too expensive.
I mean, what are we going to do? Remake Yemen? Remake Somalia? There's a lot of failed states all around the earth that are dangerous. Yemen is a classic example. Yemen is probably the last big al-Qaeda holdout, mm-hmm. In addition to Pakistan, which
I was about to say. No, it's not the last big al-Qaeda holdout.
But Pakistan is more of a state than Yemen. Yemen's falling apart. They got a dictatorship. The people are trying to overthrow them, but there's a lot of support for al-Qaeda. You know, I mean, an argument can be made, and I don't make this argument, that there we need to go in and remake the whole place. And we can't remake every country on earth. As far as I'm concerned, we can help things along. I'm all for helping people who are fighting for democracy, like, you know, we're doing in Libya, but I don't support troops there. I think we should bring the troops home in Afghanistan. Yeah. I think they've done what they needed to do. I think they did most of it 9 years ago, and it's time they come home.
Yeah, because I tend to think more down the line of things like Kosovo, you know, where with Clinton,
right.
where
right.
there was definitely a cause. There was a reason to go in
right.
to do something,
right.
and you had kind of a timeline. You got it done, and you moved on, and you know, you didn't get caught up in
Vietnam
for a
second time. We got Osama bin Laden. Now's a great time for President Obama to declare victory, say we'll still go after any terrorists that we see if we have actionable intelligence, but it's time to break some of those
troops. Meanwhile, we'll be resting over here drinking some Kool-Aid and, you know, some iced tea or something. You know, we'll go after terrorists later.
Watch Kool-Aid, because people may get the wrong impression.
Oh, gosh, drinking the Kool-Aid. There you go. But see, we'll fight terrorists.
Yeah, yeah. Garland was trying to get people to drink Kool-Aid.
I tried to stop him,
but no, he's trying to get people to drink the Kool-Aid.
But what we need people to do right now is to support WPFW, and that is very, very, very important. No, that's the most important thing. You know, we're having a discussion, and you know, next week at 7, we will be at Ben's Next Door. That's right. We'll be at, what is it, 1211 U Street?
1211
U Street.
Next door to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Next door to Ben's. And think about that. I mean, it costs money to do that. We have
it
to
does.
Have the engineer out.
It
we
does.
Do. You know, we're away from the station. It costs a lot of time, a lot of volunteers, and a lot of money to do those kind of things. And you can come down next week. Just think about that. How many shows you can listen to? You watch TV, you watch whatever channels you watch, you listen to these radio stations where people talk. How many shows do you know of where you can go to the show, watch the show, listen to the show? There's a microphone there at Ben's. If you want to be part of the show, we have, you know, Anthony and Tesfa and various people who come sit at the show, and they're actually a part of it.
That's true.
WPFW has a radio show that not only can you listen to on the air, you can come to the show, you can watch it live, you can talk to the host before the show, you can talk on the mic and be a part of the show, and you can talk to the host after the show.
And let me say this. Many of you listening to our voices right now have called in the past, have visited us at Ben's Next Door.
Yep.
If you haven't had a chance to give a gift to WPFW, we'd appreciate it. We really would. It is a way of saying, we know you like our show because you come, you call in, you come to Ben's, you talk to us. We know you like our show. If you can give just a little bit, whatever you can give, just a little bit of money to say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing, Garland, Mark, and Terry. I appreciate what you're doing, WPFW. It's how we're funded. We are a listener-funded station. So, you know, we don't do these pledge drives every week.
Yep.
But when we do them, we're doing them for a reason. In fact, we could do them less. If the more you you give.
There you go.
if we meet, we won't have to continue our pledge drive, but we do need your help at 202-588-9739, 202-588-WPFW, or 1-800-222-9739.
And come on down to Ben's next Tuesday at 7 p.m. and we'll personally shake your hands and we will personally thank you. And we'll have a fun time, because I'm sure there'll be all kinds of crazy things going on in the world next week that will probably be the debt ceiling. We'll probably be mad at the president next
week. You know? So Garland, do you think now that Bin Laden's been killed, there will be, I mean, a lot of people say what I just said, that it's about time to get out of Afghanistan. President Obama has said we'll get out in 2014, mm-hmm. which is three years away from now. Do you think the polls I've seen showed that a small majority of Americans want us to leave Afghanistan?
Which
actually hasn't happened. I mean, in 10 years, I would bet, and I don't know because I haven't seen any post polls on this specific question, but I would bet now that we've killed Bin Laden, you're going to find that slight majority grow to be, I don't know, maybe even 60% more saying, we did our job. Let's congratulate the troops and bring the lion's share of them home.
You know, I think that's a very, very good point, Mark, that I hadn't thought about. And I haven't heard anybody on the mainstream media talk about. That's a very good point, because to some people, to some extent, there will be
this
a
is
feeling
VJ Day.
That,
the war's
hey,
over.
We did it.
Right.
Whether it's true or false is another story. But the feeling will be, look, we accomplished it, whatever it was.
Right. We got the guy that killed us.
And in reality, what is there, like about a dozen guys, Al-Qaeda guys left in Afghanistan?
You know, what I've seen is that there's a few hundred, which means that we are spending, I forgot what I read, something like $1 point something billion for every terrorist that's left there.
Those are pretty expensive terrorists, Mark. I don't think we can afford those kind of terrorists anymore. Can we find cheaper ones?
Because Bin Laden didn't just murder 3,000 Americans and hundreds of thousands of people around the globe. What he did, he also caused us to spend trillions and trillions of dollars.
Yes, he did.
Let's face it. If we hadn't gone after Bin Laden, and I supported going after him, but if we hadn't gone after him to the extent we did, mm-hmm. and then of course we spent trillions of dollars in Iraq and things that had nothing to do with Bin Laden, but these are trillions of dollars. I think that the more we spend on this war in Afghanistan, the more Bin Laden succeeds, the more his legacy succeeds, the more we are actually helping him achieve what he achieved, which is bankruptcy in the United States. The Soviet Union was bankrupted when they invaded Afghanistan, largely because of people like Bin Laden. And if he bankrupts us, then he does more harm than killing the thousands of Americans and other innocent people around the globe that he killed. He actually harmed. I mean, it means less child care for people. It means less education for people.
Yeah,
it means
yeah.
less schools. It means it could do harm to Medicare. The Republicans have been itching to kill these programs for a long time. If our deficit wasn't so high, they'd have less of an excuse to kill these programs.
Yep.
And one of the reasons it's high is because of people like Bin Laden. So I would argue it's the patriotic thing to do. It's the anti-Bin Laden thing to do to bring our troops home and take care of needs in the United States.
Good point, I agree with you. And see, the other thing is that we've spent so much money on, the hundreds of billions of dollars that we spent on Homeland Security. And let me say this, because I worked, I actually ran a Homeland Security. Well, never mind. I don't want to get into that, but it had to do with the government, and I ran something that had to do with Homeland
Garland's
Security.
Garland's an ex-cop, so if you don't like cops...
I was a police official, I'll say this. But look, here's the bottom line.
You're one of the good guys, Garland.
I saw so much money wasted, Mark. I can remember somebody saying, here, take $54,000 to buy something, and someone else said, but we'll never use them. We'll put them in a locker somewhere. Nobody's ever going to use them. That's okay. Buy them anyway. $54,000. I've seen money like that thrown out the toilet.
Get a really nice car. Maybe
so
two.
What I'm saying is, in America, just in under the guise of Homeland Security, so much government money was given to people who had corporations that were the friends of government officials.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was thrown.
Look how much was given to Wyoming, because Dick Cheney was from Wyoming.
Yeah.
If of all the places Al-Qaeda was trying to attack, somehow I think Wyoming was the least likely to be on their list.
I've seen these, Mark. I've seen these... mobile command posts that rivaled the space station, for God's sake, that police departments were given
the desert.
There's like a five-man police station.
Oh, now we've got some
we're
pledges.
Cooking with gas. But like a five-man police station, and And you know, they get like a million dollar mobile command. Now, picture this: a 5-man police station gets $1 million mobile command unit with like a satellite dishes and stuff on the back, and they don't even have enough people to man it. So there was so much money thrown away.
We've got a lot of pledges. Well, not enough, but we definitely have a lot. I'm trying to figure out whether I can read their names or not on the air. We've got a renewal.
Well,
there
is a listener. I do have to say this. We have a listener that called and pledged $50 on a credit card who wants to be anonymous. Please call back. If you called, you pledged $50 on a credit card and you want to remain anonymous, we need a little bit more info from you. So we thank you dearly. Please call back 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. We had a listener. We need some more info from you.
Where does it say want to be anonymous? Because I don't think it says it on these. That means I can read their names out, right? Right, Carl?
Well, I certainly hope so.
All right. I hope so, too, because I don't see that on this card. So, Tom Edmondson, we want to thank you very much for your generous pledge. This is a renewal, it looks like. And also, I want to thank Stanley Glass, who says, quote, "We bring a lot of good subjects to light." So I want to thank you for a renewal of membership. Again, $35 to renew your membership, $65, and you get a mug, and $100, you get a special evening with the Raucous Caucus.
And we need 7 more pledges. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes. We need 7 more pledges. And don't forget, we've got a listener who called in and pledged $50, a female listener who wants to be anonymous. Please call back. We need a little bit more info in order to process that.
And you know
that.
What? We've got to get a lot of credit to our volunteers. Today, we've got volunteers from D.C.'s Premier Chorus.
Wow.
So maybe we should have them sing. Hey, volunteers, you want to come in and sing for us? I don't know. But they keep alive the African-American choral tradition.
Mark, you and I could sing.
I'd rather have the volunteers sing.
Yeah,
this is the Heritage Signature Choir. We've got Avis, Dana, Miriam, and Jamie. And
wow.
All of them are working out there trying to take your calls, but you got to call more. 202-588-9739.
We've got 7 more minutes or 6 more minutes. Whatever. We got a few more minutes. And you can even call after that, but we would like you to call before the show is over. We want you to support the Raucous Caucus. We want you to support WPFW. If you want us to say something on the air, they write a little note for you, and we'll say thank you or whatever you want us to say right on the air, provided that it can be said on the air. Yes, don't forget, we got rules here. Even though you wouldn't know it on the Raucous Caucus, we violate most all.
Well, what we do, I'll tell you, one of the things, though, that I hear about our show is that we do deal with serious topics, but we don't do it in a, the world's going to end. We're all going to die.
Have you seen did I mention the picture on the internet that's going around now?
Oh, no.
There's a picture on the internet, and I have it on my Facebook page. There's a picture of Barack Obama, and he's kind of looking away, waving like he's about to get on a plane or something, right?
Uh-huh.
But he's just looking, smiling, and he's waving. And at the top it says, "I'm sorry I took so long finding my birth certificate." Under the bottom it said, "I was busy catching Osama bin Laden."
That's right. That's right.
Too busy catching.
I had things to do. Yeah. Actually, one of the things I noticed, and apparently there's a video out now, and I haven't seen the video yet, but just the still photo of all the people in the Situation Room, and you got, Barack Obama there looking very determined. I mean, looking exactly like you want a president to look like. And you got Joe Biden there and Hillary Clinton, all the national security advisors.
And
the one,
Hillary looks kind of a little bit, she looks like she's all freaked out. You see that picture?
It's she has like her hands in her
mouth. Like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, hands over her mouth. Like, oh, my God, we're doing it. But apparently they were watching in live time.
Yeah.
They literally were watching and listening as it was happening. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
being
and
in that
room, and the other thing
watching
is
them. I mean, they could have all been shot and killed for all. I mean,
yeah,
they didn't know what was
going bad.
Listen, Jimmy Carter tried to do an invasion to save the hostages in Iran, and a bunch of helicopters crashed in the desert. So this was a real risky move for the president to take because it could have gone bad. In fact, we had a helicopter crash anyway, and yet they managed to do it. And I got to tell you, this is the kind of thing that people will be remembered. Barack Obama will be remembered as the president.
We only need 6 more, and our anonymous caller did call back. We want to thank you very much for calling in and supporting us. We needed a little more information, and she made sure that will keep WPFW on the air. I know. It's just that pledge right
back.
There. That's what's going to keep us on
now,
the air.
Now, was it for a mug or for a visit with us? Or that was
it was
a
just for an amount that she was happy
that's
with.
Good.
And it
because
was
any amount, we would appreciate.
And it was a great pledge. It was a great pledge. Yeah, the other thing was that was interesting about this, and I think that gives the president a boost from this. This was not just, he wasn't just a bystander. It wasn't like he said to the military, hey, look, I want you to handle this, and
no.
I'll be sitting here.
No, he's a very active participant.
He was a participant, and he was actually a decision maker. There was a question as to whether or not to just fly a B-2 bomber over to 20,000 feet, drop a bunch of bunker buster bombs, incinerate the entire place, and ensure you have them. And he made the decision. Against some people decide would have preferred to blow the place up, to send people in. But look what happened.
Let's talk about why it was smart to do it that way.
Well, there was a number of things. Number one, here's the good thing about it. You know, there was children in there.
That's right.
So if they'd have just incinerated, they'd have killed a bunch of children.
That's
so
true.
There were some innocent lives
that
were saved.
You're absolutely right about that.
But number two, of course, God knows they're going to be conspiracy theorists now saying he didn't die. This was all, you know, God only knows what, the conspiracy theorists. So he's going to actually be able to say this is DNA. This actually happened and you can actually prove it.
And I'll tell you something else. I realize we didn't bury Osama bin Laden precisely according to Islamic tradition. You're supposed to bury them facing Mecca and so forth. But we showed enough respect, I think, for the Islamic tradition. I mean, apparently if someone dies at sea, you can bury them at sea. I'm not a Muslim, so I don't know all the details. But we said a prayer, we wrapped him up, we disposed of him within 24 hours after death. The point is not that the United States got it all exactly right, but the fact that we tried, we are fighting a battle for people's hearts and minds. Throughout the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when we stand on the side of dictators, we're lost. Because, you know, the people in Egypt, they remember we supported Mubarak all these years. That's why I wanted to help the people of Libya. Frankly, I want to help the people of Syria. I want to help the people of Iran. But if we're on the right side of history, if people understand that we're not out to kill Osama bin Laden, and Barack Obama said this very clearly in his speech. It's got nothing to do with the fact that he's Muslim. This is not... It has never been a war against Islam. It should never be seen that way. And so we tried to respect the Islamic tradition enough in the burial so that people could see, you know, whatever the U.S. has done in the past, and we have a sordid history in the past, at least under this president, our goal is simply to take care of a bad man that killed a lot of innocent people and not to attack anyone's religion.
Once again, we're about to leave. We're gonna head for the hills. We've got Brother Ra coming here with some good music after the madness of the Raucous
Jazz
Caucus. But we ask you to call 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or 1-800-222-9739. We still got time. $65 will get you a WPFW mug. $100 will get you our three mugs for an evening to hang out with the Raucous Caucus and have a little bit of fun and have a good conversation.
Any amount, we very much appreciate. 202-588-9739. Show us your love, please.
All right. Thank you. We're the Raucous Caucus. Next Tuesday, 7 p.m., we'll see you at Ben's, 1211 U Street, right next to Ben's next door, all the way in the back, up on the mezzanine. 7 o'clock. Be there. Let's talk.
WPFW, Washington.